Our podcast might contain some strong language. Welcome to the Red Carpet Treatment with me, Jordan Stevens, brought to you by the Brit Awards with MasterCard. Over the next 8 episodes, I'll be chatting to presenters, artists, and rising stars about live music and, of course, the Brits. And back again this season, my dogs, Spike and Mimi. On the show today is Roman Kemp. He recently presented the Brits, left his breakfast show, and does such a good impression of me. I was scared. Tiny bit scared. Thought about it since. We go hard on a banter. It was a fun one. Roman Kemp, thank you for coming home to the Red Carpet Treatment.
Thank you very much.
I don't know why it says home.
No.
But Red Carpet is your home these days.
Apparently so.
You glitzy so-and-so.
Thanks, thank you.
Sorry that the chairs are worn. These are actually my salad days. Thankfully, luck has left me standing so tall.
Okay.
Go.
Yes. And you should always believe in yourself. That's a good message.
One that echoed through your childhood.
Yeah, it did. But I always think like that lyric, right? Salad days.
What does it mean?
These are our salad days. You know, because obviously like Gary, my dad's brother, is the guy who wrote everything.
Right.
So my dad didn't write any of it. So like growing up, I was always like, what does that mean to my dad? And he's like, well,
he doesn't know.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
But it's meant to be like, I might be right. It's like your green days. You're boss thriving.
Man. Yeah, I'm always living salad days. I love salad.
Do you?
I'll buy a mixed bag of salad, yeah?
Yep.
And I'll open it, pour the entire salad thing into a big bowl, vinegar and oil, and just smash it. It's on my life, I'm not even lying, bro. You look like you need to do that more.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, I always think, like, what was it they say about, like, you know, we're 97% water, or what, 98% water?
70.
70% water. Why we got to drink so much water then?
Are you taking a piss?
No, why?
That is why.
Do you know what I got the other day? Water toxication.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, cool. So let's see how far we can push this.
Right.
And I bought one of them gallon jugs of water.
Sure.
And I got through about, I did it during the radio show. So it was like 4 hours we got. Mm. And I got through like 1.2 gallon in 4 hours.
Yeah, go on.
I got home and I was like, this stuff's easy. Kept drinking. Got to about like halfway through the next gallon. I was nearly vomiting. I was like, headache.
How did you fill the bottle up? From the tap?
Yeah, from the tap.
It's the thing, bro.
What's the vegan way of doing it?
You have to filter the water, bro.
I'm like, yeah, but where are you doing that? Outside in the rocks?
Yeah, I boil it.
Yeah. I can't believe you haven't done I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of It.
Yeah, I did the island Bear Grylls.
Oh, you did?
I did, and I left because I was
with my dad. Did you do it with my dad?
No, your dad did it the next year. And then he mocked me about it. He was like, why'd you leave? It's easy. I was like, yeah, because you've been meditating half your life.
But I will say, the only way that I got through doing I'm a Celeb was thinking, I have to do this because my dad did that show.
Yeah. We're talking about your dad because that's pretty much you, isn't it?
Like, yes.
That's the foundation of your career.
Yes.
You are one of the UK's most loved Nepo babies. One of. Who are you in main competition with?
I'm now pulled with Bradley Walsh's son, Barney Walsh, who's a lovely boy.
Do you have a Nepo society on WhatsApp?
Yep.
Don't lie.
We do.
How many people are in it?
Me, Brooklyn Beckham, and Lily Allen.
Listen, there's upsides to Nepo vibes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, sometimes...
Oh my God, it's
the
best.
You were shown the way. I bet you would have met a bunch of cool people.
When it comes to how I grew up, I always say this. The best part of my life, one, how I grew up, two, the parents that I have.
Yeah.
Because I went to the best private school. I got any present that I wanted for Christmas. Any present that I wanted for a
birthday.
You're not
doing yourself any favours.
I don't care. But why do I care?
You should own it.
Yeah, but
do you know
I
what
am.
You should do?
That's what I'm saying. Why should I care?
Do you know what's
like, people go, you haven't worked. It's like, well, actually, I have worked, but still, I've still had those really
Roman,
nice things.
Roman, honestly.
Yeah.
You would make a great rapper. These are the type of things that rappers say all
well,
the time.
Well, can I tell you, right? Can I tell you? This is no banter, right? My favorite artist of all time still is Eminem.
Eminem, obviously.
Right? Obviously.
Typical for someone like you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of our era, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, when I don't even still remember when 8 Mile came out and that final rap battle comes out and he just raps everything that's terrible about himself and then people go,
what do I say?
What do I say?
And that's your whole life message now. Now you're just like, I got everything I wanted. I've never had financial insecurities. I got handed opportunity to meet people who work in an industry I've now profited off.
Exactly, 100%.
F***ing love that for you, bro.
But what I will
well
say,
done.
But what I will say is, what I will say is this:
you haven't worked hard.
I will still go up against.
Sorry.
I will still go up against, yourself included, anyone to prove that I'm a good presenter.
Oh, yeah, you are now.
Yeah.
But you just got given like years of practice.
Yes.
You know, you are right. Presenting isn't as easy as people would say. What do you reckon, like, am I doing a good job?
You're okay, but you're an edits nightmare.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was giving you a free pass to be able to say, Jordan, I think you've done well.
Then I'd be lying.
This is what I said about getting presenters onto the show. We're just trying to stick to musicians and, oh, we've got to get Roman because he did the Brit.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying,
with two other people.
Other people. Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Thank God.
You could not have carried that on your own.
Thank God. Not your music career.
What music career? What? Oh, with Harley, the duo.
Yeah, the trumpet thing.
Oh, the trumpet thing. You know? I couldn't have done the trumpet thing on my own.
No.
Damn. All right, what was on your rider for the Brits?
Oh, my rider was so bad. So, like, the funny thing is that obviously, because we split it into, like, three people, because it was, like, obviously, me, Maya and Clara, I got the shoebox. But, like, I really loved it because it was a room. And in mine was just, like, some cans of Coke and water.
Great.
And that's it. And the only thing I asked for was a candle, and I wasn't allowed a candle.
Oh, because it's an open flame.
Yeah, because it's open flame. And so all I got was like a little, the Yankee candle diffuser thing.
That's cute.
It was cute. It was nice.
You, Maya, Clara.
Yeah.
First threesome or no?
No.
So you've had multiple threesomes.
Yeah.
What was your favourite moment of the show?
That first opening bit when you say welcome to the Brits is mad.
Kylie, did you prepare the shoey thing or were you just really nervous?
She knew. And to be fair, she did rehearse it, but it just came out how it came out. You know, like a lot of people, like she's their biggest crush and all those types of stuff.
Right.
Like she was never really that to me. She's just so nice.
Yeah, she's...
Like she is awesome. Obviously, she won Global Icon.
Mm.
There's very few artists that you can say like fair.
Bro.
And she is
a number one in 5 decades.
Yeah.
Do you know how mad that is?
Yeah, it's insane.
Are there any favorite performances you have of all time?
The performances this year, I did think Dua's performance was really cool. You know, the men and the women hanging down from the ceiling was unbelievable.
Cool.
That was wicked. You know what? I really like Jungle as well.
I was hoping you said Jungle. That was my favourite.
Low key, Jungle was everyone's favourite performance.
Hey, listen.
It was like going back to the 70s and it was really cool.
Yeah, back on 74, baby.
That's it.
After parties, what one did you do?
I went to the Warner party.
Was that fun?
No, not really.
Who'd you dance with?
And pretty much I was there for about like 10 minutes. The year before was quite cool.
God.
I had someone come over to me, tap me on the shoulder.
Someone, who was it?
It was Kendall Jenner. She was like, Roman, hey.
Excuse me?
And I went, oh my God.
Roman, hey?
Yeah.
As in, have you met her before?
Nope.
The f*** are you tapping you saying Roman, hey for?
Yeah. I kind of don't want to tell you why. Like, I shouldn't leave you that. No, but she goes, you looked after my dad for about 4 weeks. And I did, because I was in the jungle with Caitlin.
Oh.
That was peak after party life. You don't get any better than that.
That's super cool. You know, they say don't meet your heroes. Have you had one of those moments where you're like, oh, I love this person, you met them, and you're like, what a twat.
Yeah. But you know the nicest guy ever? Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington is the nicest man I've ever interviewed.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. He's also really good at acting, so that helps.
Yeah. But don't you find that like the nicest people in it are always the people that are at the top of their game?
Interactions wise, it's not been that bad for me. My favorite actor I met is actually Emma Thompson. And I met her briefly, yeah. And she led to me meeting Will Smith, which at the time was crazy. Me and Harley met Will Smith and we're like, oh my God, we finally met our dad, and he just didn't really get it. But like, he did a rap. And that was great. He did a rap about Rizzle Kicks, but obviously his career's...
Let's talk about the slap, right? I watched that back the other day. It looks CGI.
Bro, it's not CGI.
No, but like, it's so wild that like, if you watch it back, you're like, this actually happened.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that. Like,
you know what was funny?
Imagine you coming up to me, like at the Brits, like just full, like I make a joke about Jade, and then all of a sudden just bang.
Yeah, mad.
We should have staged that.
Yeah, we could have staged that.
That would have been fun.
That would have been really funny. Keep my girlfriend's name out your f***. When he said the f***, where you're like, oh shit, this shit's for real.
For real. No, but I thought that was the joke.
I thought it was the joke because he did it like it was theatre.
Yeah, the way he kind of walked up.
And then went,
yeah.
And he slapped him.
But the way even that Chris took the slap was good. Like, like if that's a real slap, Chris should think about boxing.
That shit
because
was...
he had a metal jaw. Like,
I'm going,
I don't know about you, I'm going down. Will Smith slaps you in the face.
I mean, that's just insane. My favorite was a part of that whole debacle was Lakeith Stanfield, the actor from Atlanta. Have you seen his interview after?
No.
Oh, they're like, so Lakeith, what do you think of it? And he was like, what happened was only crazy because of where it happened. He's basically saying people get slapped all the time.
It's true.
It's just weird that he got slapped on stage at the Oscars. And I'm like, he makes a good point. Like that, the concept of being slapped.
If that happened on football, like you'd be like, yeah, fine.
You'd be like, fair enough.
Yeah, fair.
That was too far. You can't say things about people's wives sometimes. Anyway, back to the Brits. Yeah. Do you have like loads of celeb powers? Is that part of being Roman Catholic?
Celeb powers? No, you have the most celeb powers.
I literally do not.
You do.
Why do you think I have the most celeb powers?
Because I know you do.
I don't.
I hear from other celebrities and they're like, oh yeah, we're with Jordan. Like,
I turn up, listen, I'm very friendly with people, man, but like I spend a lot of time walking my dogs. Like a lot. I think you got more celeb powers than me.
For real, for real.
Last time I seen you was with Ed. We were at Ed's bar after we watched the Euros.
Yeah.
We had a bit of
pasta.
It was pasta, yeah.
Yeah. No, I, to be honest, with like celebrity, like my dad, I always say about this, my dad, yeah, I don't know if I mention him enough, but he has no mates.
Martin Kemp.
Has zero friends.
Yeah, but he doesn't need friends.
No, but when I say this, no friends.
This is sad.
Yeah, so it's really sad. It's really sad. Do you want to know the honest answer, right? I said to my dad the other day.
We can't do this.
I was like, Dad, when was the last time you hung out with someone that wasn't immediate family? Do you know what he said to me? 16 years ago. And he thinks it was a paid gig. I said to him, who is your best friend? Do you know what he said? Me.
No, that's really f***ing wholesome. Your dad's actually a f***ing G.
Yeah, I know.
You know I travel around Asia with your parents.
Yes, I know. Yeah. You know my mum and dad. They're nice people.
I actually did. I spent 12 quite intense days with them. We had like a deep one-on-one, like me and your dad and like his whole history, what he's been through, what he survived.
Yeah.
I think Martin is like, and Shirley, like that's the story of their relationship. Like, yeah. And then Shirley talking about gaining fame as a woman being such a completely different like contrast, having to be kind of guarded. And it was really cool.
It's nice.
I had to share the car with Tinchy Strider for 12 days.
Yes. My mum came home and she goes, what, made a new friend? And I was like, who's your friend? And she goes, Tinch.
Tinch.
Here's a question for you, right? I asked my dad this question the other day about it.
Go on.
You know when they do like in memory of bits, when people pass away in music or like, you know, do you think that when you die, you'll be in an in memory of?
So hold on, what's your question is, do I have big enough legacy for people to give a f- when I'm dead?
Yeah. Do you think Rizzle Kicks made enough of an impact to be in a black and white montage? Would you be upset if you died and they didn't put it in?
Would I be upset if I died and I wasn't in a no, no moment. I wouldn't give a f- bro, I'll be back with everything. I'll be back in the eternalness.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to worry about like self-identification and being like, oh, I and ego and none of that, bro. Okay. I'm flying around with foreverness.
You'd be upset.
Devastating. No, I'm joking. No. I actually wouldn't. But do you think
you would be in it?
I think so, yeah. I think Rizzle Kicks made an impact. Didn't win anything at the Brits, but...
Did you ever win?
We've never won anything. So Capital Breakfast,
yes.
You're finally stopping.
Yes. Breakfast Radio is still to this day, it's my favorite thing. If someone said to me, well, do you prefer radio or TV? It's radio, hands down.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the most personal thing sometimes with people. That's why I always laugh when like people go on air and like, you know, the first time you do radio, you realize that, oh, you're speaking to one person. You're not, the worst thing you can do is go on radio and go, hey guys, or hey, you know, it's, even if you're doing a podcast, the worst thing you can do is think about you as a plural audience. Realistically, who is listening or watching this with a group of their mates?
You just spun me out of that question generally. Do people listen to podcasts en masse?
No, but they don't. But that's what I mean. Like you don't really...
People listen to radio en masse.
Not really, though. Only if they're in the workspace, which is why like you think from like six... That's why, look, when you do those hours, you got to think you're talking to different types of people. You know, so our show was 6 till 10.
Yeah.
6 till 7, you're talking to, realistically, truck drivers.
Yeah, people who are in their car, yeah, for real.
Right, you can get away with certain chat. I could get away with more football chat between the hours of 6 till 7, put it that way.
Oh, really?
Right? It would be classified as the classic white van man type vibe.
Okay.
Right? And then 7 till 8, you've then got like maybe younger parents or young professionals who are like heading out to work, etc. 8 till 9, you've got full kids in the car moment.
Okay.
Keep it clean.
Yeah.
9 till 10, you're in the office, you're in the background.
Yeah. Wow. So you would try harder at midway through.
But the thing is, man, is that like it is the best thing that ever happened to me in my life.
You've been on Capital for ages, yeah. Your face was on billboards and shit. Like, are you sad?
Am I sad?
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean you're not sad?
No, because I've done it. When I first said I was leaving, people looked at me as if I'm mad, right? Because they're like, being real, it is one of the best paid gigs in our industry. You know, it's consistent,
yeah.
Which, you know, everyone strives for.
Yeah.
But you have to think, right? And this is dark, right? I went through one of the worst things anyone could ever go through, like live on air.
Yeah.
Right, in terms of finding out that you've lost your best mate whilst you're in this room. Then we carried on living that day out I did that same day every day in that same room. Like, if you had like the worst car crash where someone's died in your car, you get rid of that car.
Really, the question is, it's mad that you've gone on for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. In my opinion. Because true. Like, dude, like a year after, like, you true. Know, Joe died, I was like, I can't be in this room.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm sad about when it comes to leaving Capital is I'm ending my journey with him.
Yeah.
And if that makes sense, you're finally going, I'm moving on now. Do you know what I mean? I'm finally going, that's it. So that was the only thing that really kind of made me upset. All the other things, because I've been treated so lovely at that station, genuinely, you know, like I loved it.
And you've 100% come into your own in that space.
Yeah, sure. Of course. And I will always love radio and I will always go back to it, definitely. But also I'm just like, there's a massive part of me where I'm like, I'm so done as well with being in front of the public every morning.
Like, you get that back. What's that going to be like? You're going to get that back.
Football coaching badges.
For real?
Yeah, genuinely.
That's what you're going to do?
Yeah.
100%. I thought you were just doing a one show.
No, I'm going to do one show as well, but I'm going to go and do my coaching badge.
What, you're going to be a ref?
Yeah. Imagine I'm a ref.
Premier League referee. Roman Kemp.
Nepo ref.
Aside of us ripping the shit out of each other, I do think that our communal desire to engage with mental health is cool.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is worth commenting on what you've done for the cause. I will always applaud somebody who's brave enough to just face something like the grief of losing a friend and then using that to empower other people.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is it's such a difficult one because you feel like you're constantly banging on about it, but I guess it's just...
You can't quantify the impact, honestly.
Nah, and I think when it comes down to mental health, again, it's not that thing of like you get over it. It's just how you deal with how to live with it in your life. And, you know, everyone kind of has it in their own way. And in my opinion, it transcends. And what I was so pleased about when, you know, we went through it and kind of, you know, and I did the documentaries and things like that, you see that it transcends background, you know, lifestyle or socioeconomic, like class system or things like that, you know.
That is what's so confronting about people with mental health struggles is it doesn't discriminate.
You know, I said this recently. I was talking about Lewis Capaldi.
Yeah.
I really respect it when artists just go, do you know what? I'm going to stop for a bit.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to stop.
Also, that documentary broke me, bro.
Lewis's?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. And that's why I really respect like some labels and management that are able to go, do you know what? You don't need to work. Step back. I've sat in interviews before where I've had artists like saying, I'm not allowed to play this type of game. I'm not allowed to talk about this type of thing. You know, you just want to go home.
Yeah.
Like, why are you here? You know?
It's a tough industry, bro.
That's why I always think, you know, if people are listening to this and they love their favorite artist and maybe that artist like takes time off for mental health problems, like genuinely, like it's the best thing I think they can do.
I agree. And I think it's an incredibly difficult space to exist in, which is actually the reason why me and Harz put our shit on ice.
Yeah, of course.
Because I was like, there's so much about music I love. I love, you know, the celebration of good music. I love collaboration with artists, the ability to perform. Are there any better places for people to be able to feel this bond? And what an incredible thing to be part of. However, yes, the cogs of the machine can be wild. And that was a lot of the reason why I was like, it's not even worth it. Like, I love the music, but let me just take a minute because I'll lose my mind.
There's a thing in that in terms of, you know, even why I chose to leave Capital with it, where it's like, there's only so much you can be that person up on stage dancing. Do you know what I mean? Where you're just like, and it is every day. And I think that also there's an element of that where I'm genuinely like mentally and physically tired.
Yeah.
But then there is a massive breakdown on what it can do to your mental health. And you start to forget who you are. Because like you say, you know, when you're waking up at that time in the morning, you kind of have this, you know, I remember the first time I saw my face on those billboards. Right? You know, the
big boy billboards.
Yeah, they were big billboards, right? I went through a real existential crisis where I would have days where I would feel horrible and I would drive past.
Like
that,
imposter syndrome.
And it's like, there's this other person that people think you are, but you don't even know. And you're working so much that you're pretending to be this person that you don't know who you really are. Do you know what I mean though?
100%.
And that's why, again, it's like, number one question that people have asked me since I left Capital was, so what's next? And it's like, I don't have anything. And I purposefully don't have anything because I don't want anything.
Because you've earned so much money.
Right? But yeah. But no, but you joke, yeah. But like, so
there
many people...
There should be a point where you chill.
Where you enjoy it.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I always say, the worst question is, where are you in the next 5 years? What I'd rather do is look for how far I've come in the last 5 years.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? And yeah. Like, you know, 5 years ago, pre, you know, COVID, if you had told me that I would have done Jungle, I would have, you know, lost Joe, gone through the documentaries, still working on a TV career, hosted a Brits, I would never have believed that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just...
I wouldn't have believed it either.
I'm just, no.
Especially the Brits
But that's
thing.
What I mean. Yeah, that's yeah. What I mean. So it's like, so now you're just kind of like, okay, I'm going to enjoy it for a bit.
And you're going to start coaching some kids, start shouting at some little kids to play football badly.
Yeah, get all my anger out on them.
On children, yeah. I mean, that is a balanced way
How
to go
wild
about.
Would that be if I was like Watford manager in about 5 years?
It would be.
Hey, listen, crazier things have happened though.
Yeah.
You could do.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah,
is that the dream about, to be a football about, manager?
Yeah.
You have to be good at football first.
Well, Jose Mourinho says otherwise.
Eh?
He started out as a translator. He wasn't necessarily a footballer.
He's literally played football now.
He was a goalkeeper at a very low level.
Yo, you're blowing my mind. Are you serious?
He was Bobby Robson's translator. And then he would be next to Bobby Robson, Sir Bobby Robson, all the time. And the players were like, oh.
So you actually can be as shit as you.
Yes, and
still,
you.
I've improved. Rumour has it that you're pretty good at impressions.
Certain ones.
I'm going to set you a challenge. You've got to do it.
Okay, fine.
Harry Styles at a checkout.
Do I have to pay for extra baggage or do I get... It keeps saying unexpected an item in checkout area.
It's really good. Do you hang out with Harry?
I used to.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Busy guy.
He's busy, yeah.
Very busy.
He's a bit of you. He goes wild swimming. I can imagine you swimming in ponds.
It's just because I've got a hand-woven hat.
Yeah.
To be honest, I do go wild swimming.
You do? I know you do.
I bet you own a dry robe.
I do own two.
Yeah.
David Attenborough accepting Brit Award for Dance Act.
It's a wonderful honour to be able to accept an award with so many of my fellow mess heads.
Yeah.
With so many of my fellow ravers.
Yeah.
I met him.
Did you?
Have you met him?
I have.
How many times?
A couple of times.
Have you ever had proper chats with him?
Yeah.
No way.
One of my worst presenting moments was I was interviewing Sir David Attenborough and the producer that was in the earpiece in my ear was going, he's running over. You got to wrap him up. You got to wrap him up. And I just, that was the only time I've ever taken the earpiece out of my ear and said, I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. Yeah, can you tell that, Matt? He's like, he was giving a full speech, you know, saying,
you can't
the
do
polar
it.
Ice caps will slowly fade.
And you're going, nah, out, bang.
Hurry this guy up.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Any more impressions? Why don't you do an impression of me?
Give me the hat. Yo, okay, so look, welcome to the podcast. But look, who cares? Because, you know, we're all being brainwashed by the society anyway. do you know what I mean? Look, these cameras, right? These probably got some, like, Elon Musk brain chip stuff. But, Roman, we won't go into that because they've probably got it anyway. You know what I mean? It doesn't really matter, does it? Anyway, I mean, nothing really matters. It's all existential. What's this award? Awards. What do awards really mean? I mean, do they really mean anything to anyone? I mean, what type of, you know, hierarchy system is this that people should be awarded something just to prove that they're of any worth? That's what I would do.
That was bang on.
Yeah. Look, you're, even your dog thinks
that's crazy.
Your dog heard me doing that and then came over.
Holy shit. Well, let's go. All right, thank you so much, Roman Kemp, everybody. You've been listening to The Red Carpet Treatment, brought to you by the Brit Awards with MasterCard. Make sure you follow The Red Carpet Treatment on Apple or Spotify so all episodes get delivered to your device every week. Coming up next week on The Red Carpet Treatment is my boy Harley.
We had a festival in Belgium, Pucklepop,
yeah.
And the door was locked and I had to wake you up.
Oh.
And you came down on
in my pajamas.
In your pajamas, like 30 seconds before we were supposed to go on. And you were in an animal onesie. And then we couldn't get back on the bus because it was so close to showtime.
Yeah, so I had to perform in my pajamas.
Your pajamas.
This is an SE Creative Studio production.